Lisa thinks she's got it up. I'm going to turn it over to someone from the core to take it over, and we should be off and running.
All right. Is anybody on the web meeting? I'm looking to see if we've got some folks. I want to make sure that that's working. Can everyone hear us on the phone? Anyone?
Bueller.
Try getting your money.
So who do we have on the phone?
Sarah Van Dyke with Oregon. Sherry Sears, Cobble Drive.
Westkeeper Auto Fishing Game. Southside of the BPA.
Too far to walk.
Robert Stansel on PR in Vanderloo. Fish
Late start like I had. Do you want to do introductions in the room? Tom Lors Crickfit in the room.
Tammy Mackey.
Lisa Wright.
Thomas, Eric, I can barely hear you.
Lisa's mic is on. There.
It's because Lisa's mic was on and cutting the rest of us off. She doesn't want the rest of us to be able to talk.
So you have to turn it off?
Yeah. If your red light is on, okay, everyone else's mic is dead.
Okay, start over, Tom.
Tom Lors Crickfit.
Tammy, Portland Core.
Tammy? Aren't you just Lisa casual Rose today?
Yeah. That bounce
core. Once properly.
Bob Cordy Core.
Miros and Doljan Day Core.
Ben Hausman, Bonneville Core.
John Whitaker Crickfit.
Trevor Conner, Noah.
Oh, that's just a sexy voice you got going on there, man.
Captain
I know, I'm like, my dad.
All right, and that's all we have in the room right now. And
well, we can't hear you guys.
Can you hear me now?
Not really.
I don't know what to tell you.
Were you able to hear everybody sign in as they went around the room?
Tammy, definitely not.
Well, then how Tom was okay. Nice
others were okay. It was very bad.
Okay, we're having some audio technical difficulties here. There's some new microphones in the room that we're apparently struggling to figure out. So, is the phone connected to these microphones?
Supposedly. I don't know. We'll find out.
Just turn them off. And
try somebody else's booth, like somebody else is coming
out today. So
maybe if we
really
all turn our
close
mics on.
That's good. Do that.
All right.
Tim's not gonna be talking anyways.
I'm not talking.
Oops, what happened here? So our folks on the phone, are you all connected to the web meeting? Okay, can you see everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. So we're just going to get started with the top of the agenda there, with the overview section. We did receive some comments from NOAA Fisheries. I believe there are also some in there from Tom as well. Just they have not been inserted yet into the change forms, so just we have a separate document for that. But so we'll just go through these and one by one and make any changes and comments. And starting with 14001, this is just a new table as requested by FPOM for some project information and operating criteria. These are not buy-up operations, these are just the apps, the actual
capabilities.
Project capabilities and operating constraints. So there's a section in the overview that includes all the projects for the Lower Columbia and Snake projects, but each project also has...
Sorry, Lisa, this is Eric, but you're breaking up.
Okay.
Your words come through and every...
Okay, let's see if we can come up with a...
Yeah, I'm in Mount Rose Tribal Council. Can you hear me talking? Because I can hear you guys.
No, we can't hear you.
Okay, there's no way.
No, there's no way. Yeah.
is just speaker to there.
Why didn't you just pass it full of the library, I guess?
Yeah, as far as she goes.
So, what about these speakers?
I have no idea. I'm not allowed to play with those.
Maybe you're going to have to sit over
there. Lisa, you grab my spot. I'll take your spot. That way you're right in front of it.
You want to do that, Lisa? Move it over to...
Well, actually, it should be close enough.
Should have had the tack meeting down here, because those guys are a lot smarter than us. They can figure this out.
Yeah, okay.
I hit audio conference. I don't know if that's going to make a difference. What's that?
It's probably just that mic. Try Tammy's and see if it's a little cleaner.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? Anyone? Hello?
We're here, but it's still pretty weak.
Okay. Well, we're going to try another microphone here and see if it's a isolated issue. All right, how's that?
Whoa, that's good.
Okay. We'll just pass this microphone around then.
There you go.
So, essentially we're just going to work through the agenda from top to bottom, and there's a chance we might get through the Portland District projects pretty quickly before Walla Walla arrives. So, in that case, we'll skip to the appendices and work through those that we can. So, if you're following along in the web meeting, I've opened up Change Form 14, OVE-001, which is just a new table of just the basic project operating constraints or operating limits, as well as just some information that's often asked for in FPOM. There's a table of all the projects in the overview section, as well as a new table for each project-specific section. So it's basically you'll see a change form in each for each project that has this table in it. So... anybody have any comments on this one? Any requests for additional information or questions on what's included?
You're all good.
All right.
Was that just on OVE-1 or
yes.
All those?
Well, it'll be, so it's 14 OVE-001 is all the projects for Columbia and Snake. And then, for example, in Bonneville, it'll be 14 Bon, which one is it? 006. And that's just a Bonneville specific table. It has a little bit more details as to like the types of turbines and whatnot. So each project has its own specific table. Okay. Approved. The second one is 14002. It's just basically an attempt to better articulate some of the fish passage spill and total dissolved gas monitoring sections in the overview section. No, it's no change. It's just essentially a hope to better articulate something that was felt that was poorly articulated. Let's see. There were some comments from NOAA on this.
Yeah, we wanted it to be clearly stated that monitoring is not required for both Bonneville and DLAs.
From both Oregon and Washington DEQ?
Okay. Well, so essentially it just says in here that we consistent with the BIOP that we operate to state standards. So having that level of clarity just because of the sensitivity of the rollover situation. Maybe next year, but I guess having that level of clarity, I could certainly run that by it. But what are your thoughts on that?
My understanding with this one, do I have to turn this on or has yet? My understanding of this is it went through. Didn't this go through policy?
Yeah.
Review, and so I think. It'd probably be...
Can't hear anything that's going on in the room at all.
How about now, Eric? Can you hear me now? I think you just pretty much have to...
Yeah, Doug, I can hear you.
Okay. I guess my recommendation is the court could take that into consideration, but this change form did go through policy review already, and so it does reflect those changes, and I do think it scratches the edge. It's not verbatim as requested, but it does recognize the issue, correct?
So Doug, this is Eric. We didn't hear what was said, so we're not really clear on what you're responding to. Could you repeat it, please?
So we're looking at change form 1400 OVE002 regarding some edited language regarding TDG monitoring, and NOAA's recommendation was to specifically call out that neither state requires monitoring below Bonneville, and we're responding to that by essentially the intent of this section is a little bit more broad. It just says we what the state standards are as far as the 120%, the waiver, as well as that we operate to state standards, which is consistent with the spirit of the BIOP. And I think the intent is to have something in there to acknowledge that Camas-Washougal is no longer a state requirement. But Doug's response was that the section that's here is something that's gone through a fair amount of policy review on our end, and so adding anything further that specific, especially considering the rollover nature of the Camas-Washougal situation, that so that's where we were, well, that's what we were discussing.
So really, that just begs the question that I was like, which I guess we're gonna have to get into eventually, is like, what is? I mean, we're kind of still in this like quasi thing. Like, are you guys gonna do another fish operation plan? Are we doing rollover? I mean, we're kind of in this strange zone that we
don't. I'm getting a double voice, and I'm not hearing anything that's going on.
Yeah, this is not working out so good.
How about this? Is this better?
I'm going to go ahead and hang up.
A participant has left the conference.
Awesome. Well, for the people still on the line, you can just follow along on the screen, then don't have to listen to us. You can just mute your phones, I guess. I guess it really comes down to the question is, the core, we're kind of in a quasi, we don't know if we're rolling over, we don't know if you're going to write another FOP. I mean, it comes down to the question is that you guys are using Camas-Washougal even though it is not required under state standards, so we don't want to give Camas-Washougal the appearance that it actually has regulatory authority. It's more of kind of a nice extra thing you're doing, which we don't think you need to do. So, I mean, we're going to need to come to a resolution on that somehow.
I agree with what you're saying. I guess, to me, that nut will be cracked over the next month.
You do realize I've been trying to crack this
or you're trying something new because we have nothing now.
Well, I recognize that, but I just think that we're all... can you hear me, Russ?
No.
No. Okay. That's great.
So is there any way we can disable this system and just use the old system? Do you know? Do you have a connection?
They just installed this week,
yeah.
So it's all brand new to me.
We can just shut it off and we can just go to the default...
Can we unplug it from the phone?
It seems like we're getting some interference or something. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
That might be an option.
It doesn't ever work very well.
It doesn't. BlackBerry on speaker. You could do that.
It seems to work when you lean in. I mean, maybe try a different mic. I mean, so far, like when Doug and I lean in, they can hear us.
Yes.
So.
Can they hear it if you speak right into the phone? Maybe the speakers just have to come over and walk over and talk into the
Can
phone.
You guys hear us now at all?
Because when I talk into this, they can hear, and they can hear you.
Okay.
Try it.
Russ, this is Doug. Can you hear me now?
I hear you fairly well at the moment, Doug.
Okay, we're trying to troubleshoot how we can get audio, and we're coming to the realization that every person when speaking has to speak.
And if there's someone next to you, turn off.
Right. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Anyway, getting back to the previous conversation, I guess I would just hope that for folks on the phone, what you see, it made best efforts to recognize the issue. It was updated. Back to Tom's comment about the role Camas-Washougal, I guess the BIOP was submitted on Friday. We're hoping, you know, is it going to be a FOP? Is it going to be the BIOP? What's it going to be? And I wish I could, like everybody, I wish I knew that too. We don't know. So I guess we were just hoping.
What does the new BIOP say about Camas-Washougal?
If I recall.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. It doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
You want me to ramble? If I recall, I think it...
A participant has joined the conference.
We could, that's a great question. I would assume it would be consistent. Yeah, it either doesn't recognize it or.
It did in the draft, but I don't have to see the final. In the draft, I have not seen the final, so I had to go take a look at the final on this.
As far as I know, the biop, both the former and the new one, basically says that we'll operate to state standards, which is not doesn't include Camas Washougal. And the reason we've been doing it is because it got memorialized during the preliminary injection back in 2008 and just keeps getting kind of stuck on the bottom of the shoe as we roll over from year to year. So if we operate to the biop, Camas Washougal will not be a part of it because we'll operate to state standards. If we're ordered to continue to do the rollover, then we are obligated to continue to operate how we have in previous, according to the rollover, which still includes the Camas Washougal gauge. And at this time, we do plan to do a FOP. There will be a spill operations. It's being drafted, but as you know, there's the landscape's uncertain as far as what the what that looks like, whether it's the FOP, the BIOP, or something in between. It'll be one of those three. So, but if we operate to the BIOP doesn't say anything about Camas Washougal. So that's fairly certain.
Okay, well, I'll just pass that on to Gary that you're not going to put it in the FPP, but if the BIOP passes the muster with the new judge, then you will operate to the BIOP, which means that you're no longer going to use Camas Washougal.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's correct.
We can accept that.
Okay.
Well, this is Eric. I just joined again. So what BIOP are you operating to, the one that just came out, or what order?
Yes, at this time, the BIOP was submitted on Friday, the 18th, which means the remand is complete. It's now up to the plaintiffs and whatnot to determine if there's any further litigation that will happen this year, and if so, then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But our intent at this point is to implement the BIOP that was just submitted on Friday, which mandates operating within state standards, and neither Oregon nor Washington recognizes the Camas Washougal gauge, so that's where we're at with that.
Hello. So, tell me what you need with my.
I think we may have dialed it in. I think what's happened is Jennifer had her.
Lisa. 140002.
I think we found it.
Yes, that's the one we were talking about. The modification to section.
I had tried to call back in to see if that made it better.
Yeah.
That's one. Looks like a lot of the language is being removed here, and they were getting the coordination language. How this is coordinated has kind of been lost. I was curious if that's meant to be that way. If there's going to be a change in the coordination process, or that's just an oversight.
Yeah, go for it.
Can you unread the red? Eric, this is Doug. I agree with you. It does appear streamlined, but I don't think that's the intent, is to keep folks out of the loop. For example, when I'm looking at it right now and I'm reading regarding the spilled priority list for folks that haven't participated in TMT, that's generally a pretty transparent process, and at this time there isn't any plan to change that. So if there appears to be some minimization on the coordination of spill operations, for example, through the spill priority list, that was not the intent. But that's our plan moving ahead, is to keep doing the status quo as far as the spill priority list goes and coordinating with the region via TMT. Does that work for you?
Well, unfortunately, I only heard every third word or so.
Oh, sorry about that. I'll get closer. We're looking at the change form briefly. I recognize it's streamlined, it's shorter. Having said that, but looking at some of the language regarding the spill priority list, for example, we're planning on doing business as usual as far as spill priority list coordination goes and water quality. Regional stakeholders will still have the opportunity to participate in TMT and coordinate on.
Okay, it just seems like the language isn't there right now, so if that could be added, that'd be great.
It's I'm just looking right now at the end of the paragraph, for example, and I'm seeing detailed information regarding state water quality standards, voluntary water spill, blah, 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 use, quote, spill priority list to manage system-wide TG process for setting spill caps and TG management policies and monitoring programs. So,
yeah, you're referring us to the TDG management plan and the water management plan, the appendices. There's no reference to the coordination piece is all I'm saying, how that works. It seems like when I read through this, all I'm seeing is you telling me to go to a different document to read about it.
Okay. So yeah, we're fine with...
It'd be helpful if you include the actual coordination piece in the language. That's all.
Okay, so I would be comfortable...
I do not have a specific sentence for you to apply there. But.
So would that be... I guess what I'm hearing from you is hearing the recommendation that more clarification that spill priority lists will continue to be coordinated with the TMT. That's essentially the function that I'm hearing. Does that work?
Yeah, and then
okay.
The discussion about how that's going in season.
Sure. Yeah, that's still the plan.
Okay.
Thanks.
Doug.
Yep, thanks.
So, Doug, I think we're fine with this until we get more clarification of what the operating plan for next year is going to be. We'll submit a change form as needed to clear up language at that point. We'll just take the onus on ourselves to keep hassling you, I guess, since that's what we're good at.
I think they're going to steal your thunder, because I think between now and April 3rd, there'll be it'll either be rolled out somehow. The information is going to come out sooner or later, and so.
Anyway. No, my point being is the Kamiswa Shugel, this really comes down to Kamiswa Shugel.
Okay.
And right now, you guys are going to keep Kamiswa Shugel mentioned in the document, because it's one of your monitoring sites. It's currently still in your draft FPP. So, and if you guys get a rollover, obviously you'll stay in there and you'll keep using it. If it's not a rollover and we operate to biop, then at that point we would need to eliminate Kamiswa Shugel from the list of monitoring sites.
Where is it stated in the FPP?
It's listed as one of your monitoring sites. That's why I submitted a change form.
In the FOP or FPP?
FPP. Because you guys have a list of your monitoring sites for your TDG monitoring sites?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that.
I'll take a look.
Okay. A couple years ago, there was an appendix that was basically just the yearly TDG management plan, and that has a list of the monitoring sites. And I think that at that time included Kamiswa Shugel, but that's no longer an appendix to the FPP.
Okay.
It's an appendix to the water management plan, and that's developed annually. And is consistent with this. Consistent with how the FOP has been written in that, it's a rollover. But I'm not actually entirely sure what Kamiswa Shugel, how that's captured in this year's report, but we can certainly look at that. But it isn't part of the FPP as far as I'm aware.
Cool. We'll just check.
Yeah.
Great. Water management plan comments.
Yay. All right. So does anyone else have any further comments or questions or feedback on change form 14 OVE-002? There's another section that was edited regarding just clarification on what was previously called spill at core main stem projects, and we clarified that to articulate that that's the spill for juvenile fish passage that's further defined in the FOP. So. No changes to anything. It's just hopefully a more clearly articulated summary of that operation. So, all right. All right, moving on to 14 OVE-003. This was submitted by Ann Setter, who is not here to speak to this. It's pretty straightforward. She just wanted to ensure that there's coordination between planning and operations and that's clearly spelled out in the FPP. So if you have any concerns, speak now. All right. All right, so moving on to Portland District. We'll start with the
easy one.
Easy one. 14 bond 001,
yeah.
Which is obviously been long in development. It's adding the mid-range operation and to Powerhouse 2. So, what was that?
Tomatoes.
Oh, yep, we're getting tomatoes. So, I think everyone's pretty familiar with it. I'll let you.
Turn on your red off. No decision at this time. We look forward to coordinating in season with folks. Decision wasn't made, so we'll deal with it in season.
So does this mean we have? It's no, we're not going to do it, or we're still looking at it and being indecisive? Are you being my 5-year-old daughter who can't decide what clothes she wants to wear, or are you guys saying no, I'm not wearing this? Is basically what I'm looking for here.
we're going to deal with it in season.
Awesome.
As far as I guess we just look forward to working with the region, but a decision wasn't made. So I wish we could say definitively one way or the other yes or no, but that wasn't resolved. So the idea would be to deal with it in season.
And I think it's recognized that, you know, we did implement this by and large last year just through in-season coordination, and we will continue to do that. It's just as far as making a change to an operative document at this time, policy hasn't signed off on it for a lot of reasons. A lot of it is just there's a lot of other things going on right now, but this is something that we can say that we will implement it in mid-season or in season as we did last year. So,
well, and that's part of the problem, because we're fine up to a certain point, and then there becomes a divergence of path of where you go from there. And so basically we're just teeing it up that we're going to have the same awesome arguments in TMT that we always do. Good to know.
Yeah.
So, because I mean, we still have not made resolution on basically outside of best operating point at Powerhouse 1, and then the idea of what do you do back to at the Powerhouse 2, do you start going back up into the upper end range, do you spill? So we're still kind of in the crux of what the whole issue is. I think we've done all the easy stuff, so we're still going to have these discussions at TMT is what it's coming down to?
Yes.
Or unless you guys are hoping for a drought and then we don't have to deal with it all?
Correct.
Awesome.
You've speculated well.
Yes.
Either one.
So with that, our formal comment is that we think that a decision should be made before the juvenile fish passage season on that issue. Mm-hmm. We think it'd be better to plan ahead and know what we're going to do ahead of time from a fish perspective. So that's our comment.
Well, I guess, Trevor, so from NOAA's standpoint, are you guys wanting to object, send up? Because last time I checked, I think NOAA still has authority to approve or not approve an FPP. So are you guys going to try to...
Yeah, with that particular issue, we're going to leave that one open-ended. Okay. When Gary returns, his mother-in-law passed away, in case anybody didn't know, and he's in Iowa right now. But with that issue, we're gonna deal with that a little bit more when he gets back. So to be continued.
You know, I'm going to have to make the comment that you guys have had 2 years to make this decision. So I know you guys have been busy, but not for 2 years.
Sooner.
I waited
this long to say.
Yeah, I'm being generous today. It's Wednesday.
You have a calendar and not show the dates.
Yeah.
Chronology. Gantt chart.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
So no resolution.
Okay.
All right. Moving right along. So we have someone working on the audio issues, so let us know if things improve.
Is the room still there?
Oh, there you go. Yep, we're here. Sorry, we're working on the audio issue, so hopefully things will improve. But we're moving on to 14 bond 002. Which is a slow roll, pretty straightforward. Does anyone have any Actually, sorry, never mind. Disregard, that was approved in May.
Yeah.
So.
You're in your net block.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yeah.
You can do up to 6 microphones at a time.
Oh.
And I think with the speakers turned down, you should be able to do that now without feedback.
Oh, okay.
So I'd kind of like to see you experiment.
Oh.
And it would be helpful for you guys.
Yeah. So,
Trevor, you can turn on your mic and all the usual suspects. So bond 002, 3, and 4 have already been approved, so we're moving on to 14 bond 005, which is a boilerplate section essentially for all the Portland projects for a new section on dewatering the nav lock. And I'll open it up to comments.
So, Lisa, I was fine with this. Are you guys going to address, I think it was that Washington had the comments about release sites? I'm assuming you're going to leave that. You're not going to put down actual release sites because as basically sometimes you have to alter your release site plans. So I would be more open to leaving it open to where you release the fish. I wouldn't want to basically say you have to release it at this one location because there's times when it just doesn't make sense to release there.
Okay.
So.
Those release sites are listed in the dewatering plans anyway.
I'm hoping you have. I hope you have flexibility about your release sites, because otherwise Ben was exercising his ability to change release sites without approval, and I wouldn't want you guys to get in trouble.
They're in concrete, I'm sure.
Yes.
All right.
So yeah, I think we're fine with this one.
We're fine also.
Okay. All right, so moving right along, 14 bond 006 is just the project specific table. You can open it up and it's similar to the one in the overview section, but this one has just more detail regarding the turbine types and generating capacity and whatnot.
I'll just say thank you to Tammy for actually pulling this together since I requested this, because we keep getting questions a lot about how many turbines or operating ranges, so it's nice to have this in one location.
Yeah. You're very welcome. But
thank you, Tammy. Well, thank you. I don't care. You can just take the credit, Tammy.
All right. So the next one is 14 bond 007, which is a new section regarding hazing activities. It replaces section number 9. It was in response to a request for this information. And is included in Bonneville, the Dalles, and John Day. So let's see here. Noah had some comments, I believe, that were submitted for this.
Yeah, in regards to section 9.2 and 9.3, Gary was wondering why they're in the FPP, since he doesn't feel that they have much to do with fish.
Fish or birds?
Oh.
With fish passage.
It's in there because it's part of our hazing plan. I like this
speaking. Speaking for Portland District, it's in there because it's part of our fish hazing plan.
But we can take it out.
Yeah. If it's unnecessary, then.
It's not a big deal. I just copied and pasted our hazing plan that we have with USDA, and that's what we put in there. So if you don't want all the detail, we can take it off.
There you go, Tim. You can have that one.
Yeah, if it stays in, is this shore-based hazing, or I'm assuming? And that would be my only question, is if we can state that specifically.
I'm going to take it out.
Even better.
So as we start talking about, like, when you say hazing, you're talking birds and seals and that? Yeah, so.
The sea lion hazing part is in there, but these are nuisance birds such as pigeons and whatnot. And usually our wildlife, our rangers, use that part of our hazing plan.
And please call them rock pigeon, according to Gary. That's a common name. Could you please
I'm
get your...
taking them out.
Yeah, I know. If you're planning to take them out, then that is fine with us. That addresses any of the issues we might have had. Was it? Yeah, we'll give you a jingle. What's your extension, John? We'll go with that. I'll hit the receptionist.
Okay, well, we'll make that change then for all the projects. Take out those sections that aren't helpful. So, moving on to 14, bond 008, which is going to be added to all the projects. This was in response, Bob Cordy had requested this for the Dalles, and people enjoyed it so much they wanted it for all the projects. So, and as far as where to put it, that's where this is. This is where we thought would be the most relevant in terms of putting it with the other fish migration timing and counts information, where we speak of peak passage timing, diel distribution, and whatnot. And so, anyone have any comments? I do believe Noah had a comment regarding the location in the document itself that maybe it made more sense somewhere else, but I wasn't quite sure. Let's see.
No, I think overall we think it's a good addition. Yeah, we think it's the best place in the document to put it.
Okay.
Maybe towards the back, so as a quick reference, we could flip to it or something.
Wait, are you getting a paper cut?
Lord knows we have enough paper to go through.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Okay. Any other comments or suggestions for that one? That'll apply for all the projects then. We can just skip right over those when we get to them. For 14 bond 009, fish unit trash rack raking, I'll let project speak to that if they need to.
I'll speak to it. Are there any questions about it?
So no more floating debris. That's no longer in a method in the MPP. Is the big change, right?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, the only thing I had was we might want to stipulate something in there that there needs to be, because you basically say that how important dredging is and all that kind of stuff, but we didn't set up a schedule of how, when we're going to monitor.
Yes, we did. It's already in the FPP.
All right, I'll go
in
with
a
it.
Different section.
Well, that I'm saying you should probably put it together was my point.
I've already had this argument with Rarisich.
Well, Rarisich was right, so.
No, this is measuring gate well and raking units. The winter maintenance part that has the dredging is already in the FPP.
Why don't you reference that part then? Add just
all
a reference to it, and then I'll be happy.
What's the guidance supposed to be for when they hit these thresholds in the middle of the night? Shut off the unit.
They're supposed to try and get people in before that happens. I know the operators already yelled about this change form, but the project said that the rake worked and that if it works, then we need to use it, and dredging should help make sure that the debris load doesn't build up on the fish units.
Okay, so how many people does it take to operate the rake?
It's a standard rigging crew, three.
Three. So there's not three people on site during that, I take it? Zero.
Wow, you know, an automated raking system would have been awesome.
No, can't do it. The rake works. That's what we've been told.
They're fixing the rake, but
yeah,
it's... How well it worked, I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. That's
giving them no flexibility, I'm not sure it's ideal, but risk is the unit gets shut off. We'll just see.
Honestly, we basically had to give you no flexibility to prove if the system works or doesn't, because then that pushes us down to another. That pushes down to another way that then we might have to come up with another solution other than just tweaking the existing rig and using it that way.
Sure. So, but if that happens, I mean, float the unit.
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
And then that's what they won't. If it says don't do it, the unit will get shut off.
It doesn't say don't do it, it's just not in the MPP. So as an emergency, you know, precaution, I would suggest floating the unit.
Yeah, because if you lose a trash rake into the unit,
that's
a bigger problem.
The problem with that is that will be their first thing that they do. That's what the operators like to do, is float units.
It is, but I also think that they will not float
if it says, if it precludes them from floating, they follow the FPP.
Well,
then let's see how often that the fish unit has to be shut down and
okay.
Yeah,
that's what folks
we want to see the change form every time it happens. That way we know.
A coordination form?
Yeah.
Coordination.
Well, I think that's a fair way to do it because otherwise there won't be momentum to continue to improve that rate.
Yeah,
it'll be after the fact.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I mean, that way we'll have a record of it and we can go and say, it looks like our new methodology of solving the problem works or doesn't work.
Okay.
That's, I guess, what we're going to have to do.
I know, I wouldn't be so grumpy, huh?
Chaz, when you get out and say, you have to sort of draw down like over 10 feet, you can float.
All right, so moving on to the next one, 14 bond 010. Do we still have folks on the phone? I just want to make sure that you guys are able to follow along. Okay. I think we're slowly drifting. We're slowly drifting away from the microphones as we get more comfortable. So, 14 bond 010 is.
It's hard to hear you at times because we don't hear you at times.
Okay, I'll move this closer.
That's quite a bit of the time.
So put the microphone in your mouth.
Hello. I'm just gonna Janet Jackson right here. 14 bond 010 is where we're at regarding the ice and trash sluice way chain gate setting. Any questions regarding it or feedback? All right, so hearing no objections, we'll...
No objections to this one, but Trevor, I know Gary's wanted to talk about that kind of minimum four-bay issue. Are we going to set, were we going to set up a task group on that, or don't worry, it's just the fire alarm that builds up for that? No, I have no idea. I guess the dry lab. So that was a question that we posed last FPOM. Are we going to have some follow-up on this? Because and this gets the issue, it's fine as long as you're... able to keep a certain depth over the chain gates, but if we're not, that kind of gets to the ability to actually have the ice trash sluice way functioning the way we want. How are we going to deal with that? Because I know I was going to put some change forms in, but I was going to see how this floated out on this one.
How was that left last? I know it came up and there was mention of maybe the project doing a change form, but I don't remember where that ended up.
Yes, the action item was for the project to draft the change form.
Okay.
And since since you guys were supposed to do that, I didn't submit one, so I'm assuming one's in process.
So should it be a separate change form or just an addition to this one?
Don't care.
It depends, I guess, on which section. If that's the most relevant section for it, we could certainly. Let's see, did I close it already?
That was the four-way agreed upon 72 or 72 and a half.
Yeah.
72 and a half.
Okay.
To make sure that the chain gates or the automated chain gates were always in criteria.
Okay.
So then I guess we're just going to wait for a change form from the core?
Yes.
Okay. That'll work for me. I just got to remember to do it.
Yeah, and it will if it makes sense to have it in this section, it'll just be a modification to this this change form. But we'll send it out as soon as that gets finalized.
How will that work? I don't know. Maybe there's a precedent for it, but for something that triggers what will have to be an RCC action, I don't know how that wording should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's kind of unique.
So. Essentially, I think Gary's concern was that it's at times when, similar to what we had to deal with when the lamprey issue was happening, when the powerhouse one is priority, ice and trash sluice way is the only route of passage, that this would kick in. And I guess, was everyone on board with that? I mean, was that a concurred did BPA concur with the 72.5? I don't recall.
We haven't had a change form for them to concur with yet.
Okay.
I guess just since we're drafting it, my question is that monitoring going to be done by who? How does that get initiated?
I think that would be if we know that there's an action coming where we would have a low Forbay and Powerhouse 1 as our priority, it would be up to Project Fisheries on their inspections to make sure that we're maintaining that Forbay.
Yeah, but what about when we have a Powerhouse 2 priority and then we're using units in Powerhouse 1? It seems like you'd still want enough depth over those ITS gates.
So I think originally the change form was going to be when we were prioritizing Powerhouse 1 and that was our only surface passage route for fish, that we would have the minimum Forbay. And then other times we would be in the normal operating pool. Because the concern would be when that is the priority powerhouse and that's our only route and we're not even meeting FPP criteria with it.
Right, but it just seems like it'd be better for fish. You ain't type you're running Powerhouse 1 to have enough depth over those gates if you have them open. So I just don't know what a concern it is to BPA though to have to maintain that Forbay elevation. So
I think it removes their flexibility because they can get down to 71.
It limits flexibility, mm-hmm. And that's their concern.
The only thing I was going to add was I think during Kell Passage time, that might be some time that we'd want to say, regardless if your operating powers are one or not, that's if any Kells are over there, you want them to keep it this way, so you'd want to keep it at 72.5. So it sounds like this is something we're going to need to review a little more.
Yeah, we need the change one first.
That would be awesome.
Because we're running Powerhouse 2 in April, May period, there's Kells coming down through there.
Exactly.
So, Kenny, are we postponing this one, or what's that?
We don't have a change form to discuss it, so until we get that, we can't discuss it.
Yeah, Scott, this is...
I don't have a green light on that yet.
Yeah, Scott, this is Tom. I was just saying that this is an additional issue with the change date that will need to be addressed somewhere, and Tammy has reminded us that the action agencies, i.e. the Corps, is going to be proposing putting together a change form, so I'm sure you'll be having some discussions with them about this.
Yep. Are folks okay with it being 24 hours potentially? If it's us doing it and it's based on an inspection, you know what I mean? It's a once a day thing, so there's the potential for it to be 24 hours before it get implemented.
I think we can work out that kind of detail.
Okay.
But I mean, off the cuff. Yeah, I mean, because I don't think we ever do the Powerhouse 1 and the Powerhouse 1 off. I think once we start Powerhouse 1, it's usually priority for an extended period of time. So a day lag is not going to, I don't think, be a killer, per se.
But the control room can monitor it continually as well. It's just if you guys
they could,
know it.
That's what I'm saying. We need to know if people are going to be picky about it. They need to know that they're responsible in real time to let RCC know that a teletype needs to come out. You know what I mean?
Does it have to be a teletype if it's in the FPP that the link, your Forbay is supposed to be this?
Not if it's in the FPP, they wouldn't officially need a teletype, but sometimes, especially with new stuff, they like to have it memorialized somewhere, the what and the why.
Oh, I guess if it doesn't need a teletype, are you guys just going to do it then? How would you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, why don't we table this one for now? Because all these questions need to be answered. Okay.
Concur. All right, so moving on to 14.0.1.1. This was added to the website last week, so if you haven't been there recently, you may not have seen this one. This is a relatively new one.
Just for a little background on this one. Right now, they come out in June, they go in February, but we have sea lions there 11 months out of the year now, so that's what prompted it. We've seen them there at the entrances, potentially going in the entrances in the off season. And it just, you know, it's made us move fish dumping locations and various things, and we just wanted folks to consider it. I think, for what it's worth, Gary was okay with at least flexibility with the dates, if not
absolutely leave them in, but I just wanted to propose it so it could be.
I just say we probably want to try to have the sleds out, and we can talk about the orifice if we want to see the floating orifice ones in. Just like if we have, like last year with that huge run, I think we want to do whatever we can to minimize delay in front of the gates. So maybe we shorten the window when they're out, and then say anytime after, I don't know, pick your favorite time in maybe November, and say anytime after that you can reinstall as best you can to make it easy for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, we can work on something like that, I think.
So I don't think I'm too concerned with it, but the original reason for pulling them out was there was an initial concern because there was kind of experimental, correct, and we really didn't know what it would do to fish passage to have them in.
Right.
Now we're less concerned with that, is my take, right?
That was one thing I was going to ask was, did we ever get something from the University of Idaho that looked at that?
I remember reading something that was saying that there was no difference in entrance efficiency with the sleds.
It's in or out?
In or
okay.
out. So
I just couldn't remember reading right. that. So.
And at the last FBOM, Gary's main concern was the potential for big fall
exactly.
runs. And he thought at least for this first year we could do what Tom's suggesting is just pull them out for 2 or 3 months at that area of concern
yeah.
and then monitor it with whatever studies we had ongoing this year, potentially change that for next year. But
okay.
he was okay for what it's worth with, if everyone knows, with leaving the floating orifice gate bars in.
Yeah, those are the ones that are the biggest pain for you guys to get in and out anyway.
Absolutely.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I can support that. And then if we just take out the main entrances sometime after June, put them back in anytime after November, that works for you guys' schedule. I can go along with that. That'd be fine.
Okay. Thanks.
Sneaking ones in before I answer.
Trevor, I don't think this was included in your written comments, so just want to see if you have any questions or.
No, I mean, that's just what I mentioned, but I think we need to make sure that we settle on the dates. Because there is some concern that Gary had about the fall Chinook, so it might be appropriate to, you know, have a different set of dates in there
okay.
than we currently have.
Have you guys considered a fish number instead of a date like we do for split flow?
A what?
A trigger with fish number, like when you get to 20,000 or 40,000 or so.
Well, since that works so good with our bond split flow change form, I don't know.
Yeah, and honestly, I wouldn't even know what number to pick.
Yeah, we could look into it.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, I think we have a little time.
If they're very big, you'd want to protect them. And if the lump's huge, that's our concern, is that maybe slow them down.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to figure out what is our definition of big versus huge. I don't know.
That's kind of the thing about it. I mean, that's truly the itch for trying to spread.
Fall Chinook are pretty consistent when they come in. They're one of the more consistent fish, I think.
Yeah.
And so once you looked at the data, you could probably pick a pretty good date on there.
Yeah, and that helps crew out on a firm date, I guess.
It helps us to have a date. I know the dates are sometimes not appropriate, but this one, only because what's required to, if we were using a biological trigger, a lot of times it involves a crane rental, which obviously isn't going to happen overnight, so a date in this case might be easier.
Well, maybe then the best use table is for the next FPOM, and we can do a quick ad hoc or that and figure out, hammer out some dates that we're all happy with.
Yeah, if we're going to do that, we need to throw that ITS discussion on there, too.
Yeah.
I was just curious, was U of I tracking last year during the high runs?
They were, but I don't, because of temperature constraints, they weren't able to tag into late August. So there's going to be a chunk of time where they probably don't have really any fish in the water. They would after some river. And I don't, do you remember, where was our peak for fall Chinook last year? Was that in August or September? I can't remember. What I'm saying, was it late? Or was it like mid or early?
Yeah, I
usually the first couple of weeks in September.
Yeah, it's first couple weeks. I'm just trying to remember. I can't remember.
About third week, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure I remember when our temperatures finally let off when we start tagging again. We'll have to take a look and see if they did get anything. We haven't seen a report yet, so. They can. They can do some limited tagging. Once it drops back to, I think, below 72, they can tag minimal fish. So we can ask, that's actually good. We can ask University of Idaho, because we haven't seen a report yet from them. So I'm trying to think, who is that, Tackley? or is that Rarisich that we need to kick on that one?
Both of them.
Rarisich.
It's Rarisich, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll ask that. That's a great question to ask.
All right. So moving on to the DALs, the first three are already approved. 004 is this Navlock dewater section, same as Bonneville, so I'm assuming it'll be the same comments. TDA
005.
TDA 005 is the facts and criteria table. TDA 006 is the hazing activity, so all three of those are similar to the ones at Bonneville, in the Bonneville section. So we'll start with TDA 007, synchronized unit priority. And got any questions about this?
Did you skip 006?
TDA 006, the hazing activities?
Yeah.
It'll be the same as that USDA language.
So you have the same comment?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be the same comment for that as well as the Navlock dewater section. So, yeah.
Does everybody understand synchronized condensing units?
Unfortunately. Okay. But you want to give other people who have not been around as long as me, unfortunately, so you want to give them a quick rundown.
Okay. So basically, you don't have water running through those units, but operations, it was unclear whether or not they would consider those operating units in our unit priority. Well, if you don't have water running through the unit when it's under synchronized condensing, then it kind of defeats the purpose. So we wanted to make it clear that those don't count as part of the unit priority.
Because basically you're not generating power with them, so you're not
right.
forcing water through. So
right.
you're running them in basically reverse, per se. So.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, good enough. Moving on to TDA 008, which is the Dyeal graph distribution of adults, so same as what we looked at for Bonneville, so we can skip over that one. Split flows, TDA 009, this has been an ongoing discussion. This is essentially just a draft that's still, I'm not sure, do we have a meeting set up for, it's a due to poll, came up with anything?
Do we have a date, Tammy, at a location? And I'm not going to the Dells. Sorry.
Oh.
It's all right.
I'll call in.
I'll come down.
Then I guess you'll need to get us the location. But the date, I don't have it yet.
Give me a date and I'll get you a room.
Not everyone's commented on the doodle poll yet.
All right, so that's essentially just a placeholder for further discussion. Moving on to TDA 010, picket leads position. Which is just added guidance on some picket lead position. Any questions or feedback or issues?
Yeah, just some clarification on that. So normally what we would do at the end of fish counting season, we would open up the picketed leads so we would allow more open area for fish to pass through rather than restrict them into the count spot. But now that we have pit antennas in the count spot, we need to keep those closed while the ladder's watered up all the time because we could potentially be passing big fish at any time.
So is that what you did this year during the big fall Chinook run as well?
Yeah, they were, the picketed leads were closed.
Did you? Well, okay.
The entire time.
The entire time.
Yeah.
Well, because you were still counting. You're still doing
we were still counting, yeah.
Yeah, during the fall Chinook run, okay. The counting is on, but usually at the end of the season.
That's what I got you.
So
there's not a real density issue at the end of the season.
No. It's like, yeah, that's long gone.
It's more of, do you want to ensure that you're getting maximum pit detection possibilities?
Right. So. Yeah, because fish counting ends end of October. So normally we would open the picketed leads, and they would be open through all of November until we dewatered the ladder. Now we just leave them closed because we could be getting tank fish coming through that.
Yeah, see, if there was an issue during that fall Chinook run, then, you know, it's not going to be an issue. There's less fish coming through. So.
Oh, yeah.
And 10 to 1, we didn't have that probably wired up for the University of Idaho guys to look at. I don't know if we had that wired section wired up or not. We can ask. I can't remember if we did or not.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
So is this one okay?
Yeah.
All right, we can move on. TDA 011, ice and trash sluiceway 8 and 18 open.
So this one is basically swapping unit 8 and 18 per P&L's recommendation. Unit 8, we normally have one sluice gate open, and unit 18, we normally have two sluice gate open. P&L suggests putting 2 over 8. That's a strong unit for getting more fish to pass. So we're just going with their recommendation on that. And then we would just have one open on 18.
I honestly hate to be the one to mention this, but we don't run the ice and trash sluiceway 24 hours a day through December 15th. We made that change. I think we stopped.
You're saying we don't?
If you guys want to keep doing it, I'm not going to be the one that says anything. But I'll wait for Scott to remind you, but hey, that's totally good for me. Was it December
15th, not the whole month?
Yeah. So.
We run it through December 15th.
Okay, good.
Not with 6 gates.
Yes. Yeah.
We reduced it to 4 gates for through November and through December.
Yeah.